Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you every Sunday morning at this time in our 14th year of this broadcast, and we praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Numbers chapter 21, and we're going to look at a situation in the Old Testament where the people were given an opportunity to see the resurrection or to see the foretelling of the resurrection. And if you read through the Old Testament front to back, you'll see many, many situations, many circumstances that pointed to the resurrection. Maybe some people saw it, some didn't, but obviously some did because they knew Jesus Christ was coming. It was foretold by the prophets, and so people knew about it, people understood it. People were prepared and in expectation. And so when Jesus came, people were in expectation. They were not caught off guard. And Numbers 21 is a picture of the resurrected Christ. Numbers 21, verse 7. And it says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you, Moses. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people." Well, what was happening? The people, millions of them, possibly 2 million with their livestock, they were out in the wilderness area, and they had sinned against the Lord, and the serpents were biting them. The snakes, the serpents of the devil, were out there in the wilderness area, and they were biting them. And the people started to repent of their sin. They started to confess their sin, and they cried out to Moses, "Moses, take these serpents away from us and pray for us that we could be saved." And so Moses prayed for the people. And then in verse 8 it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that anyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, when he looks at the pole, he shall live.'" And there it is, one of the first mentions of Jesus Christ as the resurrected Savior, the one who saves us. And beloved, Moses said, if you look to this pole, if you look to this fiery serpent on the pole, you will be saved. The curse of the snakes will be off of you. And that is a message for us today, beloved. That is a message for us today. When you look to Jesus Christ, the curse of death will be off of you. When you look to Jesus Christ and you submit to him and you bow to him, the curse of the devil then is no longer on you. The judgment of the Lord is no longer on you, and the curse that is upon all mankind that came from the fall of Adam, that curse is lifted off of you when you look to Jesus, when you confess his name, and when you repent of your sins. Well, we're going to look at a couple of prophetic psalms. I have three prophetic psalms. And the Psalms are full of prophecies about the resurrection, about the second coming, about the day of the Lord, the return of the Lord. There's many, many references. Some of them are veiled. Some of them are very obvious. One of the most obvious ones in Psalm 16. And this is a psalm of David. And David is saying, "For you shall not leave my soul in Sheol." And this is words of prophetic words of Jesus Christ spoken through David. "You shall not leave my soul in Sheol or in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." And the Holy One being spoken of here is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. "Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And of course, the Lord sits at the right hand of our Father God, Father Jehovah God. The Lord sits at his right hand, and it says, "At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Well, in Psalm 68, verse 18 is a prophetic psalm about Jesus ascending on high. He's ascending into heaven from the tomb, from the pit of hell. And it says in Psalm 68:18, "For you have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes to death, or to God our Lord belong ways of escaping, or the way of escaping death. And this psalm, a prophetic psalm given in Psalm 68:18, speaks about how Jesus, when he was in the tomb, his spirit went down to hell, went down to Sheol, and it released the Old Testament captives, those who had believed in Jesus Christ. Paul takes this up in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. He takes this up and he says, those who were captive down in hell, those Old Testament saints who had believed in Jesus Christ, believed in their redemption was coming, that Jesus went down and he released the captivity, and he led them, the captives, he led them, and he gave gifts at that time, because that was the initial offerings, the gifts, that was the initial offerings that were given to men by Jesus Christ to establish the church. And so those gifts spoken of in Ephesians 4:11 are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. At the time Jesus was leading the captivity captive, as he was taking the Old Testament saints up out of hell, he released the gifts to men. And so even to this very day, we still have those gifts. I call them the office gifts, or the structural gifts of the body of Christ, because these gifts were given even to the rebellious, it says, that the Lord might dwell there, and blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with his benefits. Well, the gifts given by the Lord are certainly one of the benefits. The mercy, the grace, everything that we have from the Lord are the benefits given by him to us. We need to appreciate them. We need to love the Lord for the gifts, and we need to love the Lord just because of who he is. And then David goes on to say, our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes to death, or belong the way of escaping death. And so the resurrection, beloved, that is the first, one of the first mentions of the resurrection being the escape of death. It was because Jesus Christ proved that he had victory over death. Jesus Christ proved that death had no sting on him, that death had no hold on him. That is our hope, that we are no longer held by death. We are set free, and we have freedom to live for Christ, and we have freedom even in death to live with Christ for all eternity. Well, Psalm 110 is another famous psalm of David. Psalm 110, verse 1, it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Well, what's he talking about there? The Lord said to my Lord. He's speaking about Jehovah God speaking to Jesus Christ, who is sitting beside him. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Beloved, Jesus Christ's enemies are going to be his footstool someday. He already has defeated the devil at the cross. The devil is still on the loose and the ruler of this world, but he is limited in what he can do. He cannot do anything that God does not allow, and the devil is tormenting, the devil is harassing, the devil is still trying to take captives. And beloved, when you look to Jesus, when you say, Jesus, I want to serve you, I want to be your disciple and your servant, then the devil no longer has hold on you, the devil no longer has authority over you. And so David says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, and I will make your enemies your footstool. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. He's speaking of Jesus here. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. And so the Lord is sitting at the right hand of Jehovah, his Father. The Lord is in authority over all creation, because through him and because of him and by him all things were created, and so he has authority over all creation. And when the Father tells Jesus Christ, come back and gather up the church, there will be a day of reckoning for all people. There will be a day of reckoning, And all those who are in the church, all those who have confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior and bowed their knee to him, they will go in the rapture, and the Lord will be sitting at the right hand of Father God, and we will be up there sitting at the right hand of Father God also, and we will be there around the throne to celebrate our Lord and our Savior. So that is a prophetic psalm. David had many revelations of Jesus Christ, Psalm 16, Psalm 22, Psalm 110. I urge you to read all those. David had many prophetic revelations. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who loved the Lord Jesus. He loved Father God. And so David was given many revelations about Jesus Christ. He was given many revelations about salvation, about the resurrection. And so David, a man after God's own heart, knew the heart of God, and God shared many things with him, and David wrote them in the Psalms. Well, jumping over to the New Testament, we have some great scripture here. John 11:25, one of my favorite scriptures that I preach many times at revivals and crusades here in Africa. John 11:25, Jesus has met Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus has died. Jesus waited 4 days because he wanted to make sure that everybody knew Lazarus was dead, that Lazarus was stinky. He had been in the tomb for 4 days. He was starting to have a stench, and Jesus wanted to make sure that nobody would say that Lazarus was not dead, that this miracle that Jesus had performed, this resurrection miracle on Lazarus, Jesus wanted to make sure that there would be no doubters and naysayers of this miracle. And so Jesus has met Martha, and he says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you, Martha, believe this?" And so this is the question that Jesus asked her. It's the question that really that Jesus asks each and every one of us. He said, "Do you believe that whoever believes in me shall never die? Do you believe this?" And of course, Martha said in verse 27, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world." And of course, that is the confession of faith. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you believe that he's no longer lying in that tomb, that his bones didn't get stolen by the Roman soldiers, or that something mysterious happened to his bones. You believe that Jesus Christ defeated death, that he rose, and that he proved that if you believe in him, you shall never die. If you believe in him and he is the resurrection, you will live and you will never die. And beloved, that frees us. It gives us freedom. We can enjoy life. We can celebrate with other believers. We can celebrate because we don't have fear of death. We know what's going to happen. I live in an area of Kenya. In this particular area, there's many, many Muslims, probably 40%, maybe 50% of the population in the area. The county I live, these two or three counties out here in West Kenya, are heavily populated with Muslims, and they don't know what's going to happen after they die. They don't have any good idea of the life after death. They have a lot of mysterious fables. They have a lot of mysterious theories, but they don't have any certainty about their own salvation. They don't have any certainty about what happens as they pass into the next life, and even if there is a next life. And so it is so reassuring for us to know that there is a second life, there is life after death, and we will live for all eternity with Jesus Christ. The resurrection is for us, and not just for Jesus. He was an example. He did it because he proved that death had no sting on him, death had no authority over him. And so because of that, we are coming in his example, we are coming in his blood, we are coming in his wake and in his sheepfold, and we too will be resurrected to be with our loved ones, be with the body of Christ, be with Jesus and Jehovah for all eternity. Well, Matthew 27:51 is a very interesting scripture, and this happens at the very time that Jesus has been resurrected and he's going up to heaven and presenting his blood into the Holy of Holies, into the place where Jehovah God received him. And it is in Jerusalem that this particular event takes place. It says in Matthew 27:51, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." Verse 52, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." And so after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, people in Jerusalem started to see people who had already passed on, people who had already been buried. People started to see them come up out of the graves and walk around in the city of Jerusalem. And you can imagine what a shocking event that would be, what a shocking, astounding event that would be to see your great-grandmother, who had been dead for 50 years, walk around in the city of Jerusalem. And yet nothing is impossible with God. The reason he released those saints to come up out of the grave was he wanted to show that Jesus Christ in the resurrection had power over death, not only over his own death, but that he was releasing that power. He was releasing that into those saints who believed, and they too could be resurrected and walk around in the city of Jerusalem. Well, of course, those people had to die again because they weren't raptured at that time, so they're still in the grave, I assume, at this time. But in any rate, Jesus was showing to the world and the known world at that time, because I'm sure the word spread from Jerusalem, the word spread all over the Middle East, that there was people walking around in Jerusalem that had already died at some point in time. And yet Jesus was resurrected, and he let others be resurrected at that same time. And those came up out of the graves after his resurrection, and they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Well, that would certainly be a shocking event if we were to see that today. And beloved, we may see even more shocking things than that as the second coming of Jesus comes and the rapture comes. We may see things that shock us, things that astound us, things that shake us. But everything is going to be shaken except the kingdom of God. And so I suggest that you get on the right-hand side of God, get on the right side of him, and be prepared for all this shaking that is coming to the body of Christ and to the whole world. Well, one of the greatest chapters in the New Testament is 1 Corinthians 15, and this is commonly referred to as the resurrection chapter. And this chapter is the resurrection chapter because Paul goes into great detail talking about our resurrected bodies, talking about why the resurrection, talking about the necessity of the resurrection, why Christ was resurrected, why we are going to be resurrected. And so if you have curiosity about the resurrection and why we're going to be resurrected, what's it all about? What's Easter, as it is commonly called here in America? What is Easter about? What is the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What is the meaning of that for us? I suggest that you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, read the whole chapter, and you'll have many of your questions answered about the afterlife, about the second coming, about your own resurrection, about your resurrected body, who you're going to see in heaven. All those things are going to be answered for you in this chapter. Well, Paul takes it up at the first of the chapter, but I'm going to start in verse 12 in 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul says, "Now if Christ preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." And so the reason that Jesus Christ was resurrected, the reason that he came up out of the tomb, the reason that you and I, if we believe in Jesus Christ, are also going to be resurrected is because Jesus proved he had authority over death, and he proved that he had authority over sin because he was sinless when he went to the cross. He shed his precious sinless blood for your sin and my sin, and he proved that death no longer had victory. Death no longer have authority over him. And if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we confess his name, beloved, death no longer has authority over us, and we are not dead in our sins. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And so if we are dead in our sins and we have no opportunity for redemption, if we have no way of escape, if we have no ransom to be paid for our sin, then we are dead in our sin. We are dead. As soon as you die, as soon as you lay down and die and breathe your last breath, you're done, you're finished. There is no resurrection. But because there is resurrection, Paul says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. But if Christ is risen, you have faith to know that you are also going to be risen. You have faith to know that the sins that you have committed are covered by the blood of Christ. And you have faith to know that you're going to rise again. And when you breathe your last breath here on this earth, you're going to be transported to heaven, your soul and your spirit. And eventually then your resurrected body will join your soul and your spirit in heaven. But you will have faith to know and believe that death no longer has authority and no longer keeps a grip on you. And the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And then in verse 18, Paul says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, but now Christ has been risen. Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or of those who have died. Well, beloved, Jesus Christ is number one. And the Bible says there in verse 20 that he was the first fruits of all creation offered back to God. Jesus Christ presented his very own blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven, not a copy made by man here on this earth, but he went right into heaven, into the Holy of Holies, the original, that which is in heaven, administered by Jehovah God. He took his very own blood, the Holy Spirit took his very own blood that was shed on the cross, and he presented that blood at the Holy of Holies in heaven, placed it on the altar, and he said, this blood is the payment, this blood is the ransom for all mankind, for the sins of every single person, man, woman, and child, not only today, not only tomorrow, not only next year, but for all eternity, and even in 2019. And even Jesus' blood went back in time, even all the way back unto Abel, the first one that was killed, the first one that died, the first saint that believed in God that died. And so we know that Jesus Christ's blood sets us free. And you can have the assurance then that the blood of Jesus sets you free from death, even this day, today. Take hope in that. If you don't have any purpose in your life, if you don't have any hope in your life, take hope in the fact that Jesus died for you. You can find your purpose in him. You can find your purpose. You can walk in freedom, and you can move forward into your calling, into your destiny, and know that Christ died for you and that he shed his precious blood for you, and death no longer has a sting on you either. Well, Paul wraps it up here. 1 Corinthians 15:21. He says, for since by man, Adam, came death, by man, Jesus Christ, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And so we're dead in sin in Adam, because Adam and Eve sinned, they fell in the garden, but in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, he's number one. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Well, we're going to be here at his coming, hopefully. But if not, you'll die, you'll go to the grave. But your soul and your spirit will be ushered up to heaven by the angels. And you will be there with Jesus Christ and Jehovah God and all the saints who have believed in him. You will be there for all eternity until the rapture, when your resurrected body joins your soul and your spirit. Well, we'll take up some more about the resurrection next week and look at some more of what Paul has to say about our resurrected body. That'll be in 1 Corinthians 15 also. I thank you again for listening today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would confess his name. Just get down on your knees. He will give you purpose. He will give you a destiny. He will give you a calling. He will make you have peace. He will give you grace over your life and mercy and give you peace. And beloved, if you know Jesus Christ, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know him, I urge you to confess him today. Let me know you've made that decision. Drop me an email, pureprayer@hotmail.com. This is a listener-supported radio ministry, and I thank you all for listening. I urge you and invite you to sit down, write us out a check, let us know you are listening, support this ministry, support these broadcasts and all the other good projects we have going in Africa and around the world, and let us know that you care about this ministry and that you want to see these broadcasts continue. Thanks again for listening. God bless you today. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.